You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Everybody, Tim here with the rest of the Polyhedron Society. That would be Cody, Claire, Steve, Jeremy, and a special guest, Jackson.
Hi,
thank you. Today, we are going to talk about Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. We're going to get everybody's feedback and opinions, and we're just going to kind of do a general discussion on it, and so you guys can know how we feel about it. Hopefully, it's all good, but you never know. I have a feeling there might be some opinions. I'll open the floor to
very,
discussion.
Very boring recording if there wasn't.
Right. Okay, so we've all seen it. How many times have you seen it, Cody?
I just watched it the once.
The once?
The one time with you.
With me, right? Steve?
Just once.
Just once. You went by yourself?
No, Tina went.
No, Tina went. Okay, cool. Jeremy?
Three times.
Three times. And we know Jackson and myself, we've seen it a grand total of four times. So... what'd you think, Jeremy?
I enjoyed it. To me, it was an experience more than a movie. Mm-hmm. I think that had a lot to do with the crowd that I was with. The theater was packed. Everybody cheered at certain points throughout the movie. They were very vocal in a good way. So the emotional roller coaster of the movie was what did it for me. You know, you can talk about plots or characters that had problems, but just emotionally telling a good story, I thought it was fantastic.
I would like to get this out of the way before I say anything about it personally. Bouncing off of what Jeremy said is that I'll probably have some beefs that I'll bring up about it, and I'll tear into a certain things that I think are funny that I didn't like. But that being said, the overall product I really liked, and I didn't expect to really... I went into this not really with a great image of what it was going to be like, or that I was going to be too excited about it. And I had a very different experience because I went... You know, it already been out for about 2 weeks, and I went into the theater to see it at 6:30 on a Wednesday night, so I didn't get the big crowd and everything. But you know, despite all the complaints that you'll hear from me as this goes on, I really liked the movie overall. It was very, you know, there was a lot of tension in it. I cared about the characters, and I wanted to see what was going to happen. And it was a very good film in all.
This might also surprise you, but I'm not a huge movie person as I might sound. I'm very critical. I typically tear apart stories and characters and think, oh God, I could have done that better most of the time. But I actually really enjoyed the movie too. I liked the characters. I liked everything. And also surprisingly, I'm not a giant Star Wars fan, so this is someone who's coming out of like, oh hey, you know what? This was actually pretty good. I liked it a lot. I'd go see it again if Cody would let me, but...
why you say it like that?
Taskmaster.
There's no time.
Commander Cody.
You've got hats to knit. Get back in the sweatshop.
I call shenanigans on that.
I've been waiting for
6 years.
Listen, stay on topic. We're not talking about knitting. And
6 years.
6 years. You haven't known me for 6 years.
I want
years.
A beanie. With devil horns, a red beanie with devil horns.
Record show, it's been three.
It's not been three. I've been here for like two years.
It's been longer than two.
It's been about three.
God, wow. And I haven't made better friends.
Steve!
Yeah, overall, the movie was really good visually. I think I saw one time near the beginning where it had a CGI flub. It was... a really dark scene, so I don't think they went back to fix it. I don't know. The story could have been a little bit more original. I'm going to say that. I was hoping for a little bit more. I really didn't like how Han Solo died. I'm sorry.
Oh, by the way, we've got spoilers.
Yeah. Star Wars basically is a cowboy movie in space. Cowboys sure. don't go out all teary eyed and lovey dovey, man. They go out guns blazing, and it just, I don't know. I didn't like that part. But overall, the new characters are pretty good. I think they've got something there. So,
Jackson?
I like the Stormtroopers.
Stormtroopers?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Mm. Is that all?
I've seen it 4 times, so it's so over. I've pretty much seen everything. I like the little details that they put in.
Okay.
I just wish they had a little bit more on everything else. Like
Phasma is something.
Like we don't know anything about Phasma because she wasn't a character in the movie.
Which kills me, by the way. I have to do my Phasma rant because, like, I was so excited. They, like, the commercials they had for her, everyone was like, who is this Stormtrooper? She's so amazing looking, and she's a lady Stormtrooper in her armor. Anyways, I, like, was really excited about her character, and I expected so much for her. She had a dramatic voice. She seemed like she was going to be a real part of Finn's story. And what happens? She gets turned into a joke, and then we never see her again, which feels like so, well, one, it's kind of his thing, Lucas's, that he introduces a character we all really like, and then he does absolutely nothing with or pushes to the side.
I'm not sure that you can blame any of this on Lucas. I'm not sure how much.
He didn't have any effect. He just had effect on the story.
Who do I blame? Because I want to write letters.
J.J. Abrams. I think we're to blame as people, as fans. We have a tendency to latch on to the side characters because everybody did it with Boba Fett and, you know,
Salacious Crumb
and IG-88, you know, these characters that really in the movies have almost no presence other than just being in the background and having a jetpack that he probably should have got a refund for. But I mean, it's the other media that has blown them up and made them awesome, or, you know, just the way they look. We want to know more about them. And hopefully they'll be like Boba Fett. He'll get Phasma, whatever her name
Phasma.
Is. Yeah, her.
Festus. Uncle Festus.
Oh, my God. I will literally jump over this table.
Hopefully Aunt Fester will get some screen time in other media and we'll actually get to see her like Boba Fett.
I'm sorry, viewers at home. Hold on 1 second.
Ow! Why?
I'm sorry. I really like her. And I was like, my biggest problem with the character was, or rather, like, her introduction was, she should have been a part of Finn's development. Because Finn got, like, zero development. He just suddenly, oh, God, I can't do this. And he should have had that fight. We discussed this before, me and Cody, where he should have fought Phasma on that battle instead of the legendary traitor
Stormtrooper, yeah, the one that's so big on the internet. Traitor!
He actually has, like, backstory now.
Well, I'm sure he does, but that goes back to the Boba Fett syndrome. But
he's actually cool, though.
Talking about, you know, his sudden turn is that I'm okay with, you know, this guy's been trained basically from birth to kill without emotion kind of thing, and excusing, you know, the cyber soldier thing, you know, watching those older movies and stuff, you know, excusing the whole I've been trained to kill and everything and show no emotion and suddenly I feel these things in my gooey places. You know, I can excuse that, you know, war's awful, you know, and he realizes that. But what really amazes me is how quickly he flips when he's back, you know, he saves Poe Dan, and all of a sudden when they're in the TIE fighter, it's okay to kill again, even though it makes less sense that killing these people that I've literally known and grown up with all my life is okay when these people I've never met before who were shooting back aren't okay to kill. I mean, either killing's wrong or it's not. I mean, I understand killing to defend yourself, but it's just, it was really weird for development as a character to go, oh, killing's wrong, except for these guys who are doing paperwork who I'm going to incinerate with a ship cannon for no apparent reason.
I just want to give my opinion real quick about the movie in general, and then we can shift back to what Cody's saying.
I apologize.
That's okay. No worries. No worries. That's what this whole thing's about, right? Is to get our opinions out there. My initial reaction the first time I saw it was, I'm not really sure if I liked it. And it's mainly because, to me, it's a good movie. The visual effects are great. I like the darkness. It kind of feels like a darker, you know, A New Hope or Empire Strikes Back, where all the scenes are literally actually darker. But it didn't feel like a Star Wars movie to me. Even still, even after seeing it 4 times, it didn't feel like the Star Wars movie. Storytelling's good. The characters are great. I love Poe. I love Finn. I love Rey. I love BB-8. Love their relationship with one another. Finn turned out to be much better than I expected. I wasn't sure if he was going to have, you know, that great of a part. And I don't know. Good movie. Liked the movie. Just still doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie to me.
What do you think is missing to make it not a Star Wars movie for you? Like,
so what they could have added was the Jack Wagon that sold it all and had nothing to do with it, I think. And it was, I'm not sure how much input Lucas had in all of it, but his absence left a void in the movie.
Well, the later half did kind of, it was a J.J. Abrams film, I mean, and it showed, but I don't know, it was kind of interesting. It was a very weird roller coaster for me, because the first half of the movie, I was sitting there pretty sure I was still not going to like it, because it felt
right.
Like it was set resting so heavily on the shoulders of A New Hope and some of the earlier movies, and desperately trying to say, see, we are Star Wars, we know what we're talking about, please love us. And as guilty as I might be myself during the recordings of those thoughts, well, you can't do that in a movie like that, but it changed. It kind of turned me around towards the halfway point of the movie, where halfway through the movie, the movie was more comfortable with being itself and being its own individual thing.
I actually did not have that feeling at all. The prequels, I had that feeling. So I'm disagreeing with you just a little bit, Tim.
That's okay.
Lucas was involved with those heavily, but they didn't feel like Star Wars to me. Because they just didn't have the same feel of the original trilogy. It's just completely different feel to them. This movie actually brought me back to that feeling of the original trilogy.
I agree with that, actually.
Yeah, see, I don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm probably one of three people who liked A Phantom Menace.
Yeah, yes. I liked A Phantom Menace.
May I really step in yes. real fast? I would like our viewers to know that Tim will always love the things that we hate and hate the things we love. So please take his opinions with a grain of salt.
No. You take my opinions however you want to take them. And that's what an opinion's all about. I like The Phantom Menace. I saw it in the theater probably 5 or 6 times. And I liked Attack of the Clones. I saw it in the theater 4 or 5 times.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, there's parts of each film, including A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, that I don't like. But there's also parts that I do like that other people don't. I don't hate Jar Jar Binks.
Well, there are parts of dentist exams that I've enjoyed. That doesn't mean the whole thing as an experience was good.
Right. My point being is that there are things that I like from each movie, and there's things that I don't. But I look at things a little different than other people, because as a game master or a dungeon master, a narrator, a storyteller, whatever you want to call it,
Palpatine.
I've been DMing for so long that at this point now, I look at everything from the storyteller's point of view. So there's characters or concepts on the screen that I'm like, I can identify with that. I love Ewoks. They're just fuzzy teddy bears wearing roadkill, yeah, but I like Ewoks. You know, could they topple the Empire and take out, you know, speeder bikes and AT-STs and stuff?
Apparently.
No, that's stupid. But as a culture, a primitive culture on that planet, I really enjoyed them. But that's my opinion.
I'll say this, that I was surprised by a lot of the characters, because I had, like, I'm on social media, so I got exposure to the characters before Cody did when we went to see the movie, so I had expectations of, like, I'm probably not going to like a large portion of them, but I actually loved them. The biggest surprise to me was BB-8. Like, I saw his design in a commercial, and I was like, he's going to be stupid. I'm going to hate him. He is probably my favorite character. He is so sassy for a little robot. I love him. I want my own.
Yes, I want my Wally too.
He was amazing. He was so, the little thing with the flame, like the lighter. I love that. And I love his relationship with Poe, and that's really nice.
What's really weird is not his relationship with Poe, but Poe's relationship with him. Because when they get reunited on the Resistance world, you know, Poe's like, "Hey, little buddy," and he squats down and he almost hugs him. And I like how they tried to make you think that the Force Awakens was going to be Finn.
Oh, me too. I liked it.
How they tried to lead you in that, because, you know, he used the lightsaber a couple times and was abysmal at it.
It was in the previews, was always like had him like standing off with the
with Kylo, yeah.
Kylo Ren.
But Rey picked it up, and she was a blade master instantly.
No, she got whooped with the fight, we're going spoilers here, but like it, when she actually fought Kylo, and you got to remember, number one, he's primarily untrained. Number two, he's already injured at this point. I mean, so as an untrained, because we've seen
he has been trained though.
He's not fully trained. Really. He's not completed his training. They even said in the movie it's time for him to complete his training.
Fully trained versus not trained at all. Well, see, lived on desert world.
And that's the thing. She's so much stronger in the Force than he is. She has the ability to show discipline where he's strong in the Force. Clearly, he's very strong. That's why he was chosen. But he lacks any control. I mean, that's what separates him. And I wasn't sure I was going to like his character. In fact, I set out initially to hate his character, but, you know, because he was piggybacking on Darth Vader so hard, and his bromance for Vader, I didn't expect to like him, but he was very well done. He was a nice change from Old Man Munster and Grievous and Darth Vader, where you have this controlled, disciplined kind of evil. This guy, you know, the dark side's all about dark emotions and negative emotions being channeled, and he is the embodiment of all that, only it's not focused rage, it's not anger with intent, it's just anger. He's like a wild animal, he doesn't know how to control what he's got bottled up inside him, and I thought it was, you know, funny that every time he got just a little bit inconvenienced, he freaked out and cut everything up, and it just showed how tore up he is inside, you know, and I expected that to be like, I'm all tore up inside, I am, you know, Linkin Park, but it was nice because he's not in control, and that's the best. Because if it had been a fully trained person, then the fight would have been about 30 seconds long, like when Grievous fought Obi-Wan. I mean, it wouldn't have been a competition. So they've got two characters that neither one really know what they're doing who are facing off, and they're both being trained. And then in the next movie, they will both have had training, so it'll be a much longer, much more dramatic fight, because then you'll have two actual skilled people. And that's something to look forward to.
I think the whole series is going to be going toward his coming over to the light side.
I think that's what they want us to think.
Well, it's a struggle because it's after Anakin's struggle from going to, you know, fighting, not knowing the difference between light and dark and which side he's going to go to, and being all emotionally confused and weird, not in that social awkward stage that, you know, teenagers go through. And then even Luke kind of, you know, it wasn't as obvious, but there were points where he kind of, you know, he force choked people and he almost, you know, he kind of stopped and thought about killing Vader. You know, it's hard because it's all based on emotion, and it's hard to not let your emotion take control of your better judgment at times. And that's really what it's all about. And I think they did a pretty good job of showing that.
Talking about the power of those two characters in the Force, I think we saw the two most powerful Force users we've ever seen in film.
Right. And I think that's why, like, you know, like Steve's complaint was that they did so well for people who've never really, who aren't trained and really haven't ever picked up a lightsaber. I think it has a lot to do with, it's like, she's like, because she's so incredibly powerful that the first time she goes, oh, I might have Force powers, I'm going to try this, and was almost immediately successful. That's not something any other character we've ever seen could have accomplished before.
I do want to say I definitely like how she was trying to convince the stormtrooper, like her acting, the Rey, that was really well done. I definitely like, because she's like unsure at first, and then she tries again and again, and it's just how that emotion was a motor, like, can I do this? I'm going to try, but I don't think this is going to work, and I'm going to look like an idiot, but I'm going to do it anyways. I actually really liked Rey's character a lot more than I thought. They really handled her development, and her moral choices especially are excellent, and I don't know. It was so good.
They gave her temptation to do the wrong thing a couple of times, and she chose not to.
It was more subtle temptation than it was in the past, because it's like, either, you know, decapitate Dooku or don't, either kill Vader or don't. It wasn't, you know, it didn't start out as just, oh, I could kill for greed and power, you know. It was a much more subtler, it's like, well, it's a droid. I mean, and in Star Wars, droids really don't have rights, they're property. You know, it's like selling an item that's really not mine. I just kind of found, nobody owns it. You know, it doesn't hurt anything to put food on my table. You know, and it started like that and built.
Right.
I agree. She's my favorite character. Thought the way she was written, the actress that played her, I thought was perfect. Her acting was amazing.
Was.
In my opinion.
On Solo's cargo barge, and they let those, whatever they're called.
What were they called? Wrath-tars.
When the
Kil-Rathians are the starfighters. Never mind.
When she let those things out, and the one grabs Finn and runs off or rolls off with him, whatever, the look on her face, if you haven't seen it, or if you have seen it, go back and watch it, because she convinced me that those things really grabbed Finn and ran off with him, the way she acted about it. It was just the facial expressions were so emotional.
That sold so much of the tension, you know, like we were talking about earlier, is like the characters, you know, her and Finn really helped sell that, you know, we're really in peril, and that kind of, you know, raised the tension as someone who's watching, because if the easier they can sell it to you, the more you feel it. And it's sitting there were some nail-biting moments in the movie where you were actually, you know, worried for these people and seriously engaged in the film.
Yeah, the movie overall, it was so fast-paced. It was like, you felt like you were on a ride.
It really was a roller coaster ride.
God, yeah. I knew it was a good movie, too, because I only have to go pee like a million times when I'm watching a really good movie. So I'm like, oh, God, is there like going to be a long pause here? I can like leave for a bit. And no, there wasn't. I felt like there wasn't really any scene I could have missed if I look back. I mean, maybe the little part of the beginning where she's sitting out by like the ship. But that's the only thing I can think of right off the top of my head, because it just has so much detail and so much it's showing, especially with characters in the background. Like, I don't know. There was a lot of love, I think, put into the movie, which is what I appreciate the most, because I was kind of afraid this was going to be a cash cow. They were just going to, you know, take in the Star Wars franchise again and just put out something that wasn't going to be as good as its predecessors. Wait, not predecessors. What am I thinking of?
No, I think that's the right
one. Is it?
Yeah. I think that's okay. The right
one. But I'd like to, I don't want this to be a major focus point because we already talked about it, but I just kind of had a thought just now that we were talking about earlier about how easy the lightsaber fights and stuff were. And I think that when you're writing something like that, if you look at it from a writer's perspective and from the creators, it's a very fine line you have to walk, because it's what they're trying to do is say, you know, show how powerful these people are. And on one side of the line, you know, it's easy to go, oh, well, these people are super powerful. They're the most powerful we've ever seen. And that's what I believe they were going for. But it's so easy for you to not kind of get that and step to the other side and say, well, it just feels like it's way too easy for these people to do it. If they could just do it just like that, why doesn't everybody do it? And you have to kind of understand that it's conveying a message that way, trying to do it subtly, is extremely hard, and everyone can take it their own way.
The big thing about that is that the reason why you don't see Bob the shopkeeper wielding a lightsaber is because he has no connection to the Force.
Those things are dangerous, man.
He has no connection whatsoever. So when you see people like Qui-Gon Jinn or Obi-Wan Kenobi from the prequels, or Mace Windu, you're seeing the lightsaber from a trained, practiced, strong in the Force individual. So their movements are real fluid and super precise and very aesthetic. When you look at like Luke Skywalker from the original trilogy, his movements are a little different. The fighting style is a little different. And then you go back and you look at Rey and Kylo. They're tapping into the Force. Yeah, they're strong Force users. I've never seen anybody hold a blaster bolt in the air
without trying.
And do all that other stuff that he was doing, right?
Well, I think the most significant, that was impressive. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Most impressive.
Most impressive. But to rip information from someone's mind It's extremely powerful, and we've never seen it before.
Right. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that Kylo is very powerful. I mean, he did originate in Anakin Skywalker, so that's a lineage. That's a big deal. But again, he's inexperienced. He's not very well trained, and he doesn't spend day in and day out practicing. I'm not sure, because the fights between him and Rey were, I mean, they were real ragged. The fight was real ragged looking because neither one of them are trained lightsaber combatants who've just spend their day in and day out from birth doing this. That's all natural talent with a heavy dose of the Force put in there. And you saw that Rey could have never defeated Kylo had she not found that inner peace. That's that exact moment when the Force awakened, truly awakened within her. That's that exact moment. You can see it.
And that's a really good balance that they've got going there, is that she couldn't beat, there is no way she could ever beat him at his own game, because it goes back to, he's a wild animal. He's literally beating his blaster wounds to like channel that pain and that anger into, you know, because the negative side of the Force, to channel all that into his fighting style and everything he does. She could never beat him at his own game, just swinging wildly and being mad about it. You know, it wasn't until she kind of let go of that negative emotion that she was able to channel that battle meditation from Sagas that allowed her to, you know, find peace and channel the positive side of the Force and kind of balance. And that's the balance between the two, is that, you know, they're almost opposites of each other in this conflict.
Yeah, she had to let go of her doubt and her fear and just find the peace, or she never would have defeated him.
So I want to know more about Jackson's thoughts, because he's just going to let us ramble on forever.
Hey, and you're a special guest. We brought you in here for this.
Well, I think it shows us how much of the Force is actually in the lightsaber battles, because it just seems, oh, these guys are just good. Like Grievous, he had no connection to the Force, and he was just swinging blades.
And we saw how that worked out.
And we saw how, like, that worked out.
I don't want to talk about that. Never mind. Next person. Trying to forget that happened.
And I think Kylo thought he would never, ever fight someone with a lightsaber. When would have been the last time he would have fought someone with a lightsaber?
Those kids he killed.
That's
possibly.
I'm pretty sure he murdered the other Padawans that Luke was training.
It was never stated.
I think it was stated.
I believe they're the other Knights of Ren.
They're the Knights of Ren.
Is what I think. I think he corrupted them and destroyed everything that Luke was trying to build. My opinion.
Okay.
And I've not read anything that says otherwise, but me and Jackson have talked about it, and I'm pretty sure those are the Knights of Ren.
I agree with you. I don't think it was all of them, though.
No, not all of them. Only the ones he could turn. They killed the rest.
Right.
And then now there's a new theory floating around that Supreme Leader Snoke is Vader's clone.
Yeah.
The scars on his head match up with the scars on the original Unmastered Leader.
He had his redemption arc. If they bring him back, that makes everything pointless.
Not Vader.
A clone of him who doesn't know.
That's not the real Vader. Theory. The real theory is he survived the Death Star.
Yeah, that's the real theory.
I think it's just a red herring.
Yeah, me too.
I think he is.
He's R2-D2.
I just wanted to throw that out there to get us talking.
That could be.
Either that or he's 3 feet tall, because he's seriously compensating for something with
the arm. I don't think that's him.
I'm pretty sure that's one of Voldemort's...
he looks like Voldemort. Horcrux. He does.
It's Voldemort sitting up there, man. It's his Horcrux.
I didn't realize it was a projected image at first, and I was like, okay, now we've got giants in Star Wars.
I was very disappointed.
I was worried.
I was hoping it was a giant, actually, to be honest. I would have been like, we gotta fight that?
I can't wait for him to turn his lightsaber on. That's when it's gonna get real.
Wait till he blasts you with Force light.
Speaking of blasters and stuff, did y'all not notice the... In the first movies, you know, you could shoot a ship or whatever, and we talked about that during one game session.
The X-Wing, like at the very beginning, was so very fragile to...
Blaster fire.
Those things are, man, paper mache.
Everything in the Star Wars movie, the logic is revolved around
the plot. Right, I understand that's it because
we saw stormtroopers, First Order stormtroopers, blasting that TIE fighter with handheld and light repeating blaster weapons, and it was just hitting the panels, and those, you know, the ties are more flimsy.
Explode into whirling, spinning pieces of death at the lightest drop of a hat.
And then I don't know, they weren't even exploding when they crashed, though. They were just kind of crashing. You're like, right. What are those things made out of?
Oh, right.
Adamantium?
There's no energy. There's no power in them. They just kind of glide. They're like kites.
Chromominium?
And what? The Special Forces ties now have life support?
That's weird.
That's why the TIE fighter pilots wear those outfits, is because there's no life support in there. So
maybe they're optional.
Maybe. I don't know.
Why would life support be optional? That's weird.
We're talking about the First Order here, man.
And then you take on the blaster bolts. Now don't cauterize the wounds. So now there's blood.
A little bit. But there was there.
Well,
was
I mean, lightsabers didn't even... Well, sometimes they did and sometimes they didn't when it fit the story, because Panda... Mama or whatever his name is bled everywhere when he got cut.
Ponda Babo.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, there was blood in the A New Hope.
Well, whenever he got shot,
severed arm.
Whenever Kylo got shot, there wasn't a big splurt of blood or anything. When he started hitting the wound, the blood came out.
It was leaking. He was leaking.
Yeah. Well, I also he was leaking. Of course, I'm not even sure that has to do with a technical standpoint. That may be just the era of movies we're in standpoint, where it's okay to show blood again in a PG-13 movie, when the old Star Wars movies didn't care about a PG-13 rating, because that wasn't...
It wasn't a thing.
Thing, right, because so they weren't really shooting for something that didn't exist. And then PG-13 was a thing when the next three movies came out, so there really wasn't any blood in those. I mean, nobody. I mean, Qui-Gon, you know, limbs got cut off left and right, but there was never any blood. Qui-Gon got skewered in front of everybody, and, you know, it was just bone dry. And I think that was their attempt to kind of keep a PG-13 rating so more people can see it.
Yeah, more kids.
More kids are people, too.
Well, Star Wars has and always will
have a massive kid following.
Aimed towards the kids. So they put all this bad stuff in there. Parents are going to go, oh, I don't want to watch Star Wars anymore. And then they can't make $1 billion.
Not even what the parents think, but it's more about the rating, because people look at the rating and make a judgment call on that. And also because theaters kind of have to support the rating itself.
They have to, right?
So, I mean, because some people don't watch their children.
Even when Jackson was younger, we didn't always choose what movies he could watch based on rating alone, because I've seen rated R movies that I would be okay with him seeing.
That's true.
You've seen a rated R movie and going and seeing Quentin Tarantino, for example, at that tender age of 13 or 14.
He'd never come back, right?
Probably not a good idea. So we never did that. It wasn't until he was much older, and then it was edited off of TV. So I'm not sure if the Star Wars movies really are aimed at kids so much as they're aimed at 40-year-olds.
40-year-old kids.
40-year-olds. Because 40-year-olds around that age span, we were the ones who went and saw A New Hope at the theater for the first time, as it was called then, just Star Wars.
I probably saw that movie a dozen times, because we would go every week. You know, and it kept coming on in the 70s and 80s even. Mm-hmm. They'd bring it back. So when we'd go to family night, movie night, whatever.
It was to see that.
I would go while everybody else went to see other movies. You know, Urban Cowboy versus Star Wars. I'm going Star Wars.
Right.
And they've really brought the movie back to where it's more for adults to watch this one, where it was not that there's a lot of adult themes or anything. I'm not suggesting that, but. They were really, you know, PG-13 was a thing when the second set of movies came out, is what, you know, more I'm saying. So they were trying to keep it in that PG rating 13 by taking out a lot of the blood and cutting away when somebody got cut in half, and, you know, like what they did in the Clone Wars cartoon. But the Clone Wars was a lot more, was even darker.
It was pretty dark.
And they are marketing to kids too. I mean, because Star Wars Rebels is a kids show. There's no two ways about that one.
That show's not as bad as everybody says.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying that it was marketed specifically to kids, which is to get, you know, the next generation. Because it goes back to a lot of things that are a balancing act, and this is no different, where you have to, like, appease and keep your older customers happy, the people who love, you know, show them that you still remember what makes them great and that you, you know, you still care about what they love and show that it's the same Star Wars while still appealing to the newer, younger generations. And they're trying to do that by having all these different age appropriate media.
Right. What is that? Maximizing your fan base?
Yeah.
Yeah. The practical effects made me so happy. I don't know about y'all, but
I'm glad to see that the stormtroopers had actually fabricated armor, that they weren't all just CG. I mean, like CG stuff. It's where it's appropriate, it's good, as long as it looks nice. But
it will never be a proper true replacement for
practical effects.
I mean, because no matter how hard you try to CG something, at least at this point in technology, it will never look more real than something that's actually there, because you can physically interact with a, you know, physical prop. I mean, even if it's just a puppet, you know, you can, the future, you know, right now it's more you make a puppet and then you CGI the parts that kind of look fakey. And that's where the real is, because you can still interact with it, you can still touch it. And the ability for an actor to see it, see whatever it is, and react to it changes how they act, and they can sell it more as real. And because in your mind, when you see someone looking at Jar Jar and their eye kind of scans away because he's not really standing there, it really takes you out of the fact that, oh, because there's not really a person standing there. And in your brain, you acknowledge that.
CG... A lot of stuff that you don't think is CG or have a thought is CG is CG.
That's true.
So a lot of stuff I've recognized some stuff here lately that I didn't even think was CG.
And it's getting better, yeah. But I mean, there you still have moments where you can tell that that's not. Yeah.
There's a scene in the Hobbit, for example, when he's sitting down at the dinner table, when Gandalf is talking to them in the first movie, that he was in a whole green room there. He wasn't actually there. That wasn't scale.
Bigger, right?
Yeah, that was just green screen. He actually cried during that because there was no one to talk to. It was just him talking to the camera.
And voice acting.
And yeah.
You go back and watch Forrest Gump and look at all the CG stuff in it that they had to do. And now you're thinking, Forrest Gump, that's not a CG movie.
Oh, but it's crazy loaded CG up, yeah.
Full of CG. The napalm scene is a phenomenal scene. I mean, me personally, I hated that movie.
Thanks.
Absolutely hated that movie.
But we're not reviewing.
But
Jen A.
The napalm scene, the scene where he's playing ping pong with the other guy.
Every time he's in a flash, you know, an actual historical footage.
That's all CG. Lieutenant Dan's legs, right. That's all CG. And I know back I was younger when that movie came out, and it blew my mind away because I was like, I know Gary Sinise has legs, right? Does he? And I couldn't comprehend at that time that how they were doing it. And then I finally saw a show where it showed.
Well, I was trying not to talk about CG, but more about how awesome the practical effects were.
We're not bashing CG as a whole. That's not what it really kind of off topic. Because, I mean, it is amazing, but it goes back to more of people interacting with it and puppetry and stuff. And practical effects.
No, continue. Continue. I love the Cody Variety Hour.
I did notice that they put puppets. They were puppets.
Yeah, the whole bar thing on Jakku and in the bar and yep. Maz's cantina there, it's all practical.
And BB-8 was sometimes. And sometimes it was sometimes weird because he'd be rolling around and be all smooth. And then he'd get to a scene where he's looking at someone and he's real jerky. All of a sudden he looks weird. That's what I thought was weird about them doing half and half for him.
Yeah.
It didn't. I didn't think it looked too good at points.
I don't know. I like BB-8. I like the whole interaction. I loved how he would duck behind people's legs and peek out of stuff and things like that. How he would act towards the environment.
Yeah, he was very. What's the word I'm looking for? Shoot. He had a lot of expression. Shoot? No, he had a lot of expression to a little tiny ball.
Just like Wally.
Lots of personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He's got style.
I'm just trying to figure out, you know, every movie, someone is the comedic relief, you know, at least one. I'm trying to figure out in that movie who it really was, because they all had their moments.
I'm going to say Finn, because he was probably the only one that didn't have any huge development. I mean, BB-8 got reunited with his best friend. He thought he, you know, Poe was dead. He was traumatized. He was alone on a planet. He had this whole entire arc going for him, this little droid, and, you know, everything went full circle for him. Rey, you know, she got thrown into this whole rescue system, doing everything, trying to discover herself while struggling with whether or not she should stay on that planet or go on this adventure that she's always wanted to do. And Finn really just kind of was just running away. I mean, his arc didn't feel as strong as to me, but I guess it goes back to the fact that if he had actually a huge moment where he had to decide whether he was going to stay with, you know, the stormtroopers or go with Rey, then maybe I would have been more thrilled about it. I still feel like he should have had a bigger part with Phasma, but
I've got to disagree on that one. And because I thought Finn's was kind of, you know, I mean, yeah, they missed out on some stuff like Phasma and all that. But really, I think because going back to this, let's face it, going back to the First Order after he betrayed them was never an option. Once you're a traitor for life. People don't kind of, you know, overlook that. So, I mean, you know, it was more of a, was he going to stay and fight or run away when he was facing all this fear because he knew what they were capable of? And ultimately, he decided to stand by his guns that he cared about this woman enough to stand up and attempt to fight Kylo Ren when your average Joe Blow with a, you know, stun stick was able to beat him down pretty much without any effort. I mean, he knew he couldn't win, but he had to try because that's what was important. If we're talking about comedic characters, and I don't know if anybody agrees with me about this, but I feel like it was Han Solo, if there was a comedic character.
Yeah.
He was the comedy relief.
The droids and Han.
The
and early.
You know, all the Scottish and space Scots and space Chinese people. And space, you know, it's just...
It was him and Chewbacca. They were
Because I still laugh thinking back where they're on, you know, out in the snow Star and Chewbacca base. Says something. He goes, "You're cold."
That's true. I take back what I said. Cody had a point there. I kind of completely forgot about that. Space Scots.
Right. It was a combination. It was really how Han and Finn played off of one another. So...
Personally, I wanted Finn to be a little more serious. Right. I didn't think he needed to be the comic relief at all because there was already so much more funny parts in the movie.
Right.
With his background and everything that he was going through, sometimes it felt like...
He should have been a lot more serious.
Yeah, he should have been a lot more serious. At times, it felt to me like it was the actor, not the character.
Well, I'm going to have to, debate that little, because I mean, on one hand, yeah, but I also think it also partially has to do with writing, because it kind of goes back to how I kind of write Dr. Risker, who has like serious problems like post-traumatic stress and everything, but I play him off as more of a comedic character because it fits the story. He's not supposed to be focused on his problems right now, and I think that goes better with the flow, and I think that's what they were trying to do at the time with him, because it was not so much about just Finn, but this whole group of characters, and they kind of had to like focus on all this stuff going on, get you introduced to all the characters. So hopefully in the next movie, maybe they'll focus more on him and what he's going through, especially since he's basically destroyed an entire planet that he helped work on and build and
He helped clean that base.
Hey, he had to put in a few light bulbs. That's fixing it.
It's harder than you think. I mean, they've not got OSHA in Star Wars, so trying to get up ladders. There's no railing anywhere, and when it does, it's made out of paper mache. It's every piece of railing you've ever seen falls when someone sneezes in its direction.
The thing about Finn is that we didn't really know him prior to Jakku. Maybe that was his personality before. They're soldiers, so they're normal people like everybody else. They're not clones, so they're not going to act like Fives or Commander Cody or Captain Rex or any of those other guys. These were people who were born and raised and then put into the military. Conscripts, so to speak. So his personality could have been that way before. And at that point, you know, he's realized, I don't really fit in with these guys. So then when he goes to do this first mission, and it's basically a slaughter mission, he's like, Poodoo, I can't do this. I just can't do it. This isn't my personality. Yeah, I've been trained to do this, but I can't. And then when he becomes a traitor and starts firing on his own people, that's when he's like, you know, I've got to do whatever I have to do to get away, including shooting my former comrades, including abandoning this girl and the droid just so I can get away from the First Order, which was another betrayal. We all looked over that betrayal. I mean, yeah, she kind of called him out on it, but as soon as trouble started,
He bailed.
He left him. He ran out. So
That was another good scene with Rey, though. Just the look of betrayal on her face was also really... I'm sorry. I think I have a girl crush.
Yeah, me too. And she reminds me of Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Something fierce, yeah. Which may or may not have been on purpose, because Keira Knightley played Padme's doppelganger as Queen Amidala. So they all kind of resemble one another. And that could show the genetics playing through. Because I'm wholeheartedly convinced Rey is Luke Skywalker's daughter.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
There's too many stuff in the background. Her putting on the helmet, the X-Wing helmet. There's a X-Wing pilot doll kind of thing in the background in that one room where she's making the Easy Bake Oven muffin. there's an X-Wing. There's like a little toy stuffed X-Wing pilot in the background
She made that to mimic the guy that was in
there. Yeah, that's just another form of foreshadowing that's subtle and hidden. It's way too obvious that she's Luke's daughter. She has to be Luke's daughter.
I think it's way too obvious for that.
Well, see, I also thought it was way too obvious that Palpatine was Darth Sidious, too, because it was just way too obvious, and then
what do you know?
Right.
What kind of parenting skills is that? Here you go, hon. We're going to drop you off on this desert planet. We'll be back. Good luck.
If you pay really close attention to her vision and take it out of sequence and break it down in a different way, you can piece it together right there. The Knights of Ren were hunting Luke Skywalker and his family. They made it to Jakku. The Knights of Ren killed all those people.
It's a family tradition.
Right? Killed all of those people. Rey was mixed in with them and got taken away by the guy in Bartertown. What was his name? Unbar?
Yeah.
Simon
Pegg.
Yeah, Simon Pegg.
That was him. I knew it.
Marsh her up.
He grabs her by the arm and says, "Come with me, little girl." And that's where he takes her. That saves her life. And then Luke shows up, and the scene where it shows Luke put his cybernetic hand up on R2 by the campfire. That's not a campfire, I don't think. I think that's wreckage or something, because he finds all these dead people, including his dead wife, and he assumes that Rey is dead.
Okay.
He assumes Rey is dead, so then he goes on. She has no clue. She's a little girl. And then there it is.
Man, Luke should really invest in some stormtrooper insurance. This keeps happening to him.
But I could be totally wrong. That's just my personal opinion. Because I paid real close attention to the vision scene the second three times I watched it, or the next three times I watched it. So I was like, that's pivotal. That's a very important part of the movie. I really need to dissect this so I can...
Well, if you in the same scene, you hear Ewan McGregor...
Slash Yoda, Alec Guinness.
And then Alec Guinness, so...
And they say... Oh, what was it he said? Rey... Alec Guinness says something to Rey.
He says Rey. That's all Alec Guinness says.
And that I'm telling you, she's strong in the Force, and at that level, she has to be Luke's daughter. And she because it's Vader versus Luke, part two, with Kylo being Vader and Rey being Luke.
Right.
The only way this can end is with Kylo dying. He may be redeemed before he dies, but he will cousins. Die.
Yeah, cousins. They would be cousins.
I think that Rey and Finn will have a relationship.
I don't want it.
In all honesty, I do.
I think, I don't, I can see it. I see the possibility, but I think it would be, I don't want to go Chewbacca. Down that road to
you
find.
You want Rey and Phasma to hook up, right?
No.
No, not
Chewbacca.
At all. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that's an option, actually scratch that. If I can hook up with Phasma, I am so down with that.
Phasma, if you're listening.
Wait.
We're digressing.
Hold on. Phasma.
This orbit is decaying.
No. No.
Yes, it is.
Phasma.
Once you go Wookiee, you never go back.
Just Phasma, if you are out there, call me. Sorry, hon. I'm leaving you.
My ear. So, back to Star Wars. Final thoughts from each person real quick.
Okay, Jackson?
My favorite character was the traitor stormtrooper.
Traitor.
Yeah, Steve? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, actually, there's a book that just came out called Before the Awakening or whatever. It takes place before these movies, and that stormtrooper was one of the men that Finn trained with. So he recognized him. He knew him. So it gives that scene more emotion for the best character in the Star Wars universe.
I just hope that they, like you said early on in the discussion, is utilize all the characters a little bit more, like Phasma and stuff, and develop those to make them worth even having on there, you know, bring them out. I'm sure in the next movie that she's going to be a much larger part, but, you know, there's a lot of Game of Thrones fans out there, and they want to see her do something.
So we know Jackson's favorite character is either the traitor, stormtrooper, or Phasma.
Mm-mm.
Traitor?
No, it's Traitor or Kylo. I really like Kylo.
Who would be your favorite character be?
Oh, Rey.
Rey?
Rey's the best, yeah.
Rey. Claire?
I love
final
the movie.
Thoughts?
Okay. I love the movie. I can't wait for the new one, which, yay, I haven't gotten this excited before about a movie in a long time. It was storytelling felt good to me. I loved all the characters. They were amazingly well-rounded. And I think my favorite character is surprisingly Mal from the little...
Maz?
Maz, yeah. Pirate. I loved her. I loved her design and her weirdness and her love for Chewbacca.
Yeah, once you go Wookiee, you never go back. All right, Cody, what you got?
I've pretty much said at the very beginning most of what I thought. It had its ups and downs. The first half I was kind of, but overall I really enjoyed it. I expect great things. I'm actually, for the first time in a long time, really excited about what's coming up in Star Wars' future.
Cool. Who's your favorite character?
I would definitely have to say I kind of choose two characters, Rey and Kylo, because I think they're two sides of the same coin.
All right, Jeremy, what about you?
It's interesting just listening to everybody give their final thoughts. You know, we all have negative things to say about it, and we've kind of focused a lot in this conversation on negative things.
That's why I started out the way I did.
Right.
I felt like, yeah.
But every one of us are saying, I can't wait to the next one.
So, right. It's a sign of a good movie.
It is a sign of a good movie. You know, there's a lot of criticism about it being a clone of the first Star Wars movie that came out. And I agree with that, but I think it's a better telling of the original story. I was much more emotionally involved with this telling of that story than the original one. So I think the acting was better. I think the story was told better in this version.
Out of all the things Lucas has said, I've always believed this when he says that Star Wars has never been about the destination. It's always about the journey. It's the actual, you know, how the events play out and the characters and, you know, the storytelling itself, not where they end up.
I changed my answer to Jeremy and Cody's. Thank you.
So who's your favorite character again?
Rey.
Okay. I'm going to, I guess, close it out by saying that it is a good movie. I think the cloning of the plot is a big theme in Star Wars, not only just because they use clones during the Clone Wars, Lucas was very good at borrowing elements from other influences and repackaging them and putting them into his movies. There's a lot of stuff that's hidden like that. Again, very good movie. It didn't always feel like a Star Wars movie to me. I think they took elements from Star Wars and put it into its own story. Almost. But overall, very good movie. I can't wait for Rogue One and then the next episodes and the other unannounced Star Wars movies they're talking about. And then I guess my favorite character was General Hux. I don't know. He was a guy who was out of his element, and he was trying to control the First Order and deal with Kylo Ren, and probably knew some of Vader's backstory and probably saw some mistreatment there. And he was kind of like a rival sibling, like, hey dad, Kylo did this, and hey dad, Kylo did that. So, you know, I'd like to see more from him, but that's me.
I don't think it's gonna go well for him.
I don't think so either, but I like tragedy in my characters, I like to see the broken flaws. So I guess that's it from us. So we hope you enjoy this kind of panel discussion where we're talking about The Force Awakens, and then look forward to many more where we discuss different things, Star Wars and just gaming related in the future. Thank you.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.